Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the stream now. So let me introduce the meeting. This is Pacifica National Board's Programming Committee meeting of December 2nd, 2010. And the first thing to do is to call the meeting to order. I'm the chair, Jamie Ross, and the first thing I'm going to do is call the roll to establish that we have quorum. So let's see, Kim Kaufman, just call, stay here if you're here.
Here.
Okay, excellent. Leslie Radford? No. Nancy? Are you
yes.
here? Okay. Wesley?
Here.
Okay, Benito, are you here? No, Benito. Alberto? No. Jim Bennett? No. Jamie Ross is here. Rufina Juarez?
Here.
Okay, here. Afia Nwangaza?
Here.
Okay. Kimmery is not here. Sasha?
Yes.
Utron is here. And Sharam is not here. So we have seven. So we have a quorum. So I believe our agenda items are as follows. Let's see. Is a proposed agenda is discussion of the KPFA situation specifically with regard to discussion of internal affairs on air.
Benito.
Benito, welcome to the call.
And so hello, good night, good evening, everybody, and sorry for being late.
We're just starting now.
We just started.
Oh.
Okay.
That's
so
even worse.
I'll give an update on WBAI's program changes.
Oh.
Which should probably be of interest to the committee. I'll try to be brief what we did and how it was done. And three, if you're interested, we have a policy that Leslie has proposed she wanted us to look at, which I've sent to the committee. We'll see if we get to that. Now, are there any other items people would like to add?
May I ask a question? Wesley's policy initiatives is for a better design of the program council. Is that what it is?
No, this is Leslie Radford. I sent it around.
Sorry, I didn't see it.
Yeah. I just sent it now. It's basically that the executive director confirms by insert date that each station has in place the following programming policies. Talks about procedures and standards for reviewing, retaining, and removing, making changes, standards for making changes, procedures for responding to comments, procedures for orienting and training production staff, policies and procedures for programming submissions, procedures for recruiting new production volunteers, procedures for training, goals for listenership, I believe, and quality, and that's about it. That's not the exact wording, but that's what it covers.
Jamie, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So, and this is under the title of program council. So all stations have program councils, or this is just policies?
It doesn't necessarily say program council, no. It's not program council specific.
So it's program policies in general?
It's basically a query to find out that each station has programming policies that are in place.
Okay.
It's kind of, it's sort of a reasonable thing to ask. We can look at it more in detail when we get to it, but that's what it seems like a reasonable thing to at least bring up. Are there any other items?
Yeah, I wanted to suggest, I for one would like to, if possible, get a report on what's up with the Al Jazeera news programming. And then also I understand that there are some, I don't know how to say it, but controversies regarding some programming changes at KPFA?
Yes. Well, the first one, Sasha's going to talk to us about that. That's our first item, what's going on at KPFA.
So KPFA, WBAI, and then this policy here, those three items?
Yeah, and I could put your item on there. If are there directors? Is anybody on the call a director?
I am.
I am. Do you know Afia is... Afia is the... Is the question that Benito brought up, is it something that would be appropriate to discuss in open session? Is this something that's been finalized, and or is it still pending? If it's still pending, we should discuss it.
I've been kind of out of the loop, but I thought there was a press release that had gone out at some point recently.
Okay, really? I can't remember, but we'll
I haven't seen one.
Let's check that out.
And I'm on the KPFA board.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll try to figure that out before we get there. If not, we'll get a report.
If this is at all, I don't know. I'm not absolutely clear, but part of the reason why I bring it up is that some of the directors from PFW brought it up with us at the programming committee meeting. Last month, as a matter of fact, and it's our understanding, and again last night, well not last night, Tuesday night, and so what we were told by that director is that the Al Jazeera programming is supposed to start, I think he said December the 6th, but anyway, at the beginning of December. So yeah, okay, that's in a few days.
Okay.
Really?
That's
wow.
What we were told on Tuesday night. I mean, we were told in general last month, but we were given a specific date when we had the LSB programming committee meeting on Tuesday.
Well, I just googled Al Jazeera and Pacifica, and there's nothing new there.
Ooh.
So why don't we talk about that online first before we talk about it on the phone call? I'd be more comfortable with that. It sounds like there's not much information that's going to come out here anyway. So, okay, so folks,
what does it mean online to talk about online? I don't know what that means.
By email.
Why?
Because it may not be something that we should be talking about in an open meeting.
Can I say something here, Wesley?
Yes.
Yeah. We were told by the executive director not to talk about it until it became finalized. You know, it's like a surprise thing. So
right. Well, I don't know the status of it right now, so that's why I would suggest that we figure that out before we add it to our public.
I agree.
I don't believe that anybody here has any information anyway, so it wouldn't be a very productive discussion. But we can talk about it on email. That'd be fine. But anyway, why don't we get going with the KPFA story? So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Sasha.
Okay. So let me just ask. I mean, do people need that? I mean, I sort of brought this up for a specific reason, and it's my concern having to do with people saying, using their airtime to say things that are derogatory and potentially harmful to the station or the foundation, and so forth, and that's my concern. But I don't know if the rest of you want some sort of a background update on what's going on. I sort of don't know
I think that would be good, if it's not, concise. Update would
okay.
be good.
So about, I guess, now almost a month ago, there were seven layoffs, and as it turned out, five people took a voluntary layoff, and that included some people that were not on the layoff list, and two people were laid off involuntarily. And those two people were co-hosts of our morning show. And what has gone on since is that at times one of the hosts of the morning show does appear on the air on KBFA, sometimes as a co-guest host with somebody he's been on as a guest, et cetera, et cetera. And the news department has also had, and I think there,
I couldn't tell you about the news this week. I actually can't stand listening to the station anymore. I'm going to be quite honest about it. Because so I don't really know. But through last week, the morning news, and you have to understand that we have a newscast in the morning, and we have on the hour for like I think through noon we have a 5-minute newscast, and then the news director was on Thanksgiving break, and her fill-in actually did it on the hour and a half hour. Oh, and there's always some mention of Pacifica, and a lot of, and you can even sit on our website, a lot of programs or a lot of shows or a lot of things that are promoted, they will say things like, none of your money will go to Pacifica. So if it has to do with the crafts fair, that we have a big crafts fair every December for a weekend, you know, it's right on the website, it'll say your money does not go to Pacifica. If you attended to buy something, your money does not go to Pacifica. So there's been a lot of, you know, rather derogatory comments about Pacifica, and those layoffs were done, as I have been told, by a seniority list, and it followed that seniority list. We've also had some problems. It wasn't that the morning show was canceled, as people said. It was that the hosts were laid off. Two hosts with more seniority were supposed to have taken over. You know, I'm not privy to a lot of inside information here, but some they elected not to. I've heard that the union put pressure on staff not to, other people with more seniority, not to fill in those positions. Whether that's true or not, I don't really know. I'll just throw it out there. And the union has taken a very big role in all of this. And there have been some demonstrations in front of the station. I think we're going to be going into kind of a weekly demonstration mode, it seems like. And one of the things that I'm finding, like this Sunday I was at a gathering with a lot of progressive people in the Bay Area, but people who are not necessarily at all involved with KPFA, and several of them said to me, and I was introduced as this is Sasha, she's on the KPFA board of directors, and oh my God, that Pacifica, that's terrible. Pacifica is horrible. You know, Pacifica has been painted as a monster. And this is the impression that people are getting. And I have a problem with, you know, and what led into this was, you know, going on the air and discussing the fact that the layoffs were coming. That was a part of it. There was, you know, and it started with actually the last 2 days. This all started with the last 2 days of our election for board members. That's what began. So it was the last 2 days in September. So it's been going on, you know, off and on for over 2 months now. And, you know, I worked in media and print and radio and TV, and, you know, there was no way you could, if I, you know, say one sentence against your employer and figure you would have a job when you got off the air or turned in that article or whatever. I mean, you just could not use the, you know, your employer's, you know, vehicle, media vehicle to berate the employer. And I, you know, I really have a problem with this. And I think there's a sense of people who are on the air, I mean, in general, and I don't know what it's like at your stations, but certainly here, of it's my show, it's my airtime, I can do what I want. I mean, that is certainly sort of a cultural sense that I think in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether we as a committee should not begin to formulate some policy around this that makes it really clear-cut for the future that, you know, if you go on the air and you do this, it's not allowed. And I'm not too sure if that's the popular sentiment either. I mean, I get a lot of a sense of popular sentiment being that we're free speech, which means, you know, you're my boss, and I can talk badly about you on the air if I've got a show or if I'm going to do a newscast, and that's okay. So it may not be that there's actually flies with the PNB. I don't know. But I actually think this is going to do a lot of financial damage, and that it really is not right to be. If you have any questions about what's going on, you know, feel free to ask, but that's actually what I wanted to talk about was.
Okay,
yeah, and it's a system-wide. I think it should be in place this slide, so...
so, Sasha, if I understand you correctly, you're asking us for some, like, policy ideas around this question.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's very, yeah, thank you very much for that. I think this is a very important issue, and it's a real, it's a problem not only at KPFA, and I think it is appropriate for us to take this up. I could take a stack if people have questions or comments on the issue. I have something I'd like to say, but I'd like to formulate it first. But just to remind you all, we did discuss this issue in a slightly different way earlier this year. We approved a policy for on-air discussion of internal affairs. Basically, the policy said that when people are doing that, they become whistleblowers, and that they have a sense they carry a responsibility, that the foundation should reserve airtime to respond, and that people should not be going on the air to do a few things which would put the foundation at risk legally. Now, it does seem to me that if this kind of stuff goes on multiple days and creates a tenor, it creates a bad mind, it creates a bad feeling about the foundation in listeners' eyes, listeners' ears, that this may well be, this may be harming the foundation, you know, as far as fundraising goes. It gives us a bad name. So I think, you know, yeah, this might, there probably is a need for a policy here. So anyway, if there's anybody else on the stack, let's see, Benito, I heard your name.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else who would like to ask a question?
Nancy. I have a question. This is Afia. I have a question.
Okay, Afia, and I also heard Nancy. Okay, well, why don't we start there, and then I'll put myself on after that, and if anybody else wants to talk, we'll try to figure out what we're going to do. Okay, Benito?
Yeah, so I just wanted to know, number one, Sasha, you mentioned that, number one, there's been a series of demonstrations, and number two, that the union has taken a big role, has played a big role in all of this. So can you tell us more or less who has sponsored the demonstrations? And does the union have any role in those demonstrations, or are they a part of those demonstrations? And basically, what is the position of the union, you know?
The union is a part of those demonstrations. They have been there, and they have spoken. They attend them. They carry signs. There's a website that I'm sure all of you have heard about, kpfaworker.org. I confess to being a little unclear whether that is put together by the union or not. I think it is, but I'm not 100% sure about that. You can join, you can send an email to the PNB if you join up on that website. Although people tell me who have said positive things about KPFA and Pacifica that their emails do not get through, it's a moderated list, to the PNB. Only the negative comments get through. They've actually read negative comments. The demonstrations, by the way, are not well attended. I would say the largest one probably had about 75, maybe at the most 100 people there. But that also included some of us who were sort of counter-demonstrating, so it was a little hard to read. And the last one I saw was in a light drizzle, and there were about 30, 40 people there. So I'm near the station, so I kind of make it a point to at least drive by and see what it looks like. So the union is definitely playing a role in this. There's been a National Labor Relations Board grievance filed, which apparently takes some time. And then there was a lawsuit. Well, that has to do with the vote counting. That's another thing. Never mind. I think that answers your questions, Benito. Was there anything?
Well, just that, what is the position of the union with regard to the layoffs?
Laid off, and that Pacifica is completely in the wrong. They've also been saying that the executive director of Pacifica should not have been involved in any of this. But you have to understand, we have an interim We have an interim general manager. One of the people who took a voluntary layoff was the interim assistant general manager, although she's the first person to be an assistant general manager. She was appointed as one of the final acts of our outgoing general manager. You know, remember the $357,000 check that got, quote-unquote, misplaced for over a year. Appointed her. We have no program director. So we really, the only permanent staff we have is a business manager at the station.
And you're saying that the union is saying that the layoffs were not justified?
Well, they're also saying that they were not justified. The union had put together and proposed at our last LSB meeting a budget that they say would have cut $250,000 out of the expenditures for this fiscal year. As a board member, I can tell you there's no way, I don't read that as being able to cut anywhere approaching that. But the fact of the matter is, I think that the cuts were between $300,000 and $400,000, and frankly, I never thought those were going to be sufficient. And I attended special budget meetings that were held because, if you'll recall, the station staff did not manage to put together a budget to present to the board for approval. I'm talking about the local station board. And so finally, Pacifica staff basically put together a budget and presented it to the P&B. But those cuts were really, frankly, never going to be sufficient. And to tell you the truth, our first fund drive, which was before all this happened, was about, I think it was about $60,000-$70,000 short. What the fulfillment rate is going to be is beyond me. Actually, this started in the middle of the fund drive, and it was one day on the fund drive that during the morning show, 2 hours were devoted to, I'm going to be laid off, I know I'm going to be laid off. That was before the layoff. No, really, he had to get off the air and turn it over to his co-host because he was crying and his tears were getting on the mic, he said.
Oh, God.
Okay.
No, it was quite high drama here, you know. And that actually went on the fund drive. That brought in a lot of money that day, but whether people are actually going to, you know, it brought in a ridiculously high amount of money. It was my opinion that was planned in advance, because I don't see how that much money could be brought in unless that had happened, but that's just my opinion. And I don't know what the fulfillment is going to be like on that. And we were supposed to have had 2 days of fundraising, and that was shortly after the layoff. That had to be canceled out, and that's going to be happening this month instead. That's 2 days of special fundraising to try to make up for that gap of what the fund drive did not bring in. And I personally think this is going to be quite damaging for fundraising. And I'm going to, you know, I think our fulfillment rate, I'm sure, will not be as good, I would think, as it has been in the past.
Okay. That's good. Mm. That's a helpful answer.
Yeah.
Okay, I think next on the stack is Effia.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. If I understood you correctly, you said that you referenced the transmutation of such complainants into whistleblowers. And I think there is a definition and policy, whistleblower policy, that has also been passed. And I think there needs to be some use of that policy and that's the standard for determining whether or not folk have violated their duty, to the station and to its employer, to their employer. I think you were on the board when that happened, Jamie.
The whistleblower thing?
Yeah.
Yes, I was. Though that whole episode was confusing. Yeah, there is, you know, I'm not very good with the you know, whistleblowers are protected by the law in some way, but yeah, I don't think I can give you a reasonable answer. Somehow defeated me. The issue I can never wrap my head around it.
At least we can put it out there and make sure that it's not a blanket cover for an unconditional cover for any and all kinds of conduct. To be called a whistleblower, there are certain obligations that go along with being a whistleblower. One of which is to not, certainly not to knowingly and or negligently undermine the interests of the employer.
Yeah, that makes sense. If we write a policy, we should have some language like that in there. That you know, there's whistleblowing, and then there's, you know, strategic damage.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not suggesting that we actually write the policy tonight, because I think a great deal of care can be taken with the language.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see, you know, I would like us to have copies of all. When you're referring to the whistleblower policy, is that what you read us earlier, Jamie?
No, there is some whistleblower policy. Afia's right. I, you know, like a lot of Pacifica stuff, it gets passed and then disappears into the mist of time, but it is there. I could try to dig it up, and I could try to dig it up and send it around on email.
I remember that we passed that motion maybe 3-4 months ago.
Yeah, that was a different thing. But Afia is referring something that we did when both Afia and I were directors. This was, I think, in the year of 2008. I think. Which is like so long ago, I can't remember a thing. But I will try to dig that up. And Sasha, I think you're as sensible that it's probably foolish to try to pass the policy tonight. But we could maybe get some ideas what should be in it.
That was my hope. And then I think, you know, any language we came up with, we could email back and forth. I would think it would be good to have the attorney look at. You know, I mean, I just think we should have caution in this.
I think basically what we would do is write something and recommend, you know, either that the PNB pass what we think they pass this language, or that the PNB should pass something that addresses these issues.
Right.
Because we in any case, we don't make a policy. So,
right.
You know, if we have a really good idea of what they should do, we can do their work for them and tell them what it ought to be. But if we're a little blurry, we could, you know, be a little vague. And tell them to do something like this.
And I'm open and fine with going about it either way. I just think it needs to be done.
Yes.
Whether it affects what's going on right now ever or not, I think it needs to be in place for the future.
Sure.
And you're saying that if I understood part of what Jamie said earlier, the two policies that are already in place have more to do with legal things that would harm the foundation legally, but the what's actually going on right now at KPFA is more damaging the station's ability to fundraise.
Well,
so,
I think it's also trying to put, I mean, personally, my opinion is it's trying to put pressure on the foundation to reverse the decision or to have set things up for legal cases and so forth. I don't know, but I am concerned that we have an environment in which also I think we have an environment in which people who are on the air, and you know, and some, I don't know about your stations, but we have people who have been on the air 30 years or just shy of 30 years, and they have a real sense of ownership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that they can do whatever they would like. And I think there is a sense, too, of, you know, we're free speech radio, so we allow anybody to say whatever they would like, including, you know, calling my mother a name. but there's sort of a free-for-all kind of sense. And I think that some of it is downright damaging and should not be allowed. But how we not allow that, I think we have to do with a great deal of caution.
Okay.
I didn't hear the last few words. A great deal of what?
Caution. I think we have to be very careful. I don't want us to cross a line either in terms of what is forbidden.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get a distinction as to what is it about this situation that is not covered by the first two motions.
Well, the first motion is something that passed in 2008, and I don't know if it's relevant or not, because neither Afia nor I remember it. The second motion we passed in May of this year, and we said there's four kinds of things that should not be aired by on-air staff who are speaking about Foundation Internal Affairs. And those four things are, one, potentially libelous statements, which could put the Foundation at risk. So we've actually said that you cannot go on air and call Sasha's mother a name. Well, it depends what the name is. And two, confidential employee information, which Pacifica is forbidden by law to broadcast. For example, you could not go on air and say, you know, so-and-so makes $30,000. Unless, I don't think you could do that. Three, privileged or proprietary information. You wouldn't want to go on air and say, we're in contract negotiations to buy a yacht, but we haven't bought it yet. You wouldn't want to talk about negotiations if they were publicized, could hurt the foundation. That's more of a financial issue than a legal issue. And four, speech that violates FCC regulations. All I know, the only thing I know about that is the seven dirty words, but there's probably other stuff too. But it doesn't really, this stuff that we pass doesn't really say anything about producers that go on air and repeatedly refer to Pound Foundation policies as bad and give the foundation a bad name, as has happened at BAI and apparently now is happening at KPFA and probably has happened at our other stations. We didn't really address that specific problem in our previous policy. So anyway, I believe the next person on the stack is Nancy.
Am I there? Okay.
You are there.
I'm worried that we overstep and or step on the freedom of speech, and about these things that were going on and being spoken on the air in Berkeley. What did the listeners? What was their response? What was their questions?
Well, as I said, I just was at a gathering of progressives and a lot of old time, generally older people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, I would say more 60s, and, you know, who, when I was introduced by someone as being on the KPFA board, said, oh my God, that Pacifica is just terrible. And that's how our conversation began. And they've been hearing one set of stories, because there's not been any airtime, really very little airtime to speak of with anything else. Arlene was invited onto one show where she was on the air for a half an hour with two other guests. I was able to speak of this, and she was on the morning show, actually, where she was interrupted a lot when she spoke. She and Lavarne were both on, and they were both interrupted a lot with the old hosts of the morning show. And that's been, as far as I know, it. As far, you know, in terms of another point of view, it has been a topic of discussion on all, I think, all of our regular Monday through Friday and even some Sunday shows of paid staff. And it has been part of our newscast. And I just said, I don't know about this week, but up until this week, part of just about every single morning newscast, there's been at least a sentence about it.
Wow. So these are just the programmer's version. I mean, you don't have, like, people calling in, asking questions or giving their comments?
Most of these are not call-ins.
But at other times you have call-ins, right?
We do, but not that often. And the call-ins that come through are actually pretty much all known names to me. You have to understand that we're also deeply factionalized, and they all come from one faction. whether that means they're the only ones whose calls can get through, whether they're the only people who are calling, I couldn't tell you.
Oh. You have
Although I do
calls?
Know some people who, I know one person when they realized who he was, they just cut him off the air, who is a different faction. So it's been very controlled, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is the impression I have.
What is Arlene done? What is she?
Okay, Kim, would
okay,
like
put me on the stack.
The stack. Okay,
put
I will
me on the stack.
Put you
sorry.
On the stack.
Okay, that's enough. That I go to the next person.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. Okay, the next person on the stack is me, and then Kim. So I will go. Let's see here. I have a couple of things to say about this. First of all, this kind of behavior I find is deeply troubling and very counterproductive for the foundation. You know, I do not think it serves us in any way to have producers that repeatedly use our air to air grievances and make it look like the foundation is doing a bad thing or the foundation is not acting right, you know. The foundation owns the license to the air. It just makes no sense to allow people to use the air in a way that would harm our good name or our fundraising. I think it's not out of the question for somebody to, you know, to say something once or twice, but to have it as a regular theme. We had this situation here when we had some changes a couple years ago. And it was almost every morning you could listen to one show, and they would be excessively this sort of inside baseball talk about what's going on here, and this person and that person don't like each other, and you know it's wrong in so many ways. It gives the foundation a bad name, as Sasha said. It hurts our fundraising, and furthermore, it's not good radio. Our morning shows are probably our best chance to catch audience, and there's just very few people who are interested in this stuff. It's a total waste of our air. Another point I'd like to make is I do agree with Sasha that there tends to be a culture here where producers feel that they own their air. I believe it was Arlene or maybe Jim was talking about WMNF where they have. I think they have a deal with each producer, if I recall correctly, that you're on for 3 years and then you're reviewed and hopefully you'll come back on, but there's no guarantee there. Maybe something like that, some policy like that might be helpful to, you know, to reset the relationship between producers and the foundation. This is related to the problem we're talking about here. I'd also like to make a point about free speech. People like to say that we're a free speech network. You know, that's fine, but I don't believe that means you can get behind the mic and say anything that you please. People have free speech. The producers are perfectly free to say what they'd like to say in other venues, but when they use our mics and the air that we have the license for, they should use their speech in a way that furthers the mission of the foundation. And to chase away listeners and to chase away funders does not further the mission of the foundation. So I think that free speech argument is not really relevant. So I do believe that we should come up with some sort of policy about this. I have playing around with some language here, basically pointing out this problem. That such repeated use of the air to go over the same ground over and over multiple times. It's problematic. It's not in keeping with the original purpose of the shows. It's not good radio. It doesn't attract audience. It can damage our foundation fundraising. People get scared away. They don't want to donate. And it damages the good name of the foundation. And not allowed. I do believe it's in the purview of management to tell a producer, you know, we hired you to do a morning show about public affairs or news or whatever it may be, you know, whatever your show is on, and that's really what you're here for. That's why we're here. We're not here to talk about our internal affairs on the air. That's a counterproductive thing for us to be doing. So I think if we can work back and forth on email to develop a policy around that, I would be very happy about that. So that's all that I have to say. Sorry to go on for so long, but this is an issue that's concerned me for years. Okay, next on the stack is Kim.
All right. Well, I'm just gonna go for it here because, you know, I've heard rumors for a long time that there are people who have had an agenda to tear the network apart, and I think that's what this is all about. This isn't about free speech. This is about bankrupting the network because some people think that somehow they're going to be able to break the network up and they're going to be in control of KPFA. And all the licenses, the FCC licenses, are up next year. And one of the first questions they ask is, are you in control of your airwaves? And at KPFA, the answer may be, well, not so much. And therefore, the license would not get renewed. So I think this is a bigger problem than just, a couple of rogue programmers. I think this is a long-standing plot to do exactly what they're doing because it's obviously not in the interest of KPFA or the network, and it's really beyond our control. I mean, we can set whatever policy we want, but clearly the people who are doing this have no interest in following any policy. And I don't know. You know, it's really up to the executive director to step in and do something.
Okay. So, are there any other comments or questions on this issue?
Well, that thing we passed in May about the whistleblower, it included a 24-hour in advance notice to the manager, didn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it got changed to we recommend that they notify the manager in advance. And partly, it's funny, the original motion, I believe it was proposed by Arlene, I think, was that so management would have a chance to respond. But the way the thing that was finally passed, it worded it so that management could review or somebody could review what the person planned to say and make sure that they didn't violate any laws that would really hurt the foundation.
Leslie on the stack, please.
So, that was does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, the next person on the stack is Wesley.
Oh, hi. We have a slightly different problem here at KPFT. We have our manager has a weekly half-hour show, and during our last pledge drive, he was, we also program music all day Saturday and Sunday. And the 9 a.m. Saturday show was he and our manager were pitching, talking about the jihadists and the communists on the board who want to do away with the music, and it's just some really reprehensible stuff. But see, this is a manager, you know, and a programmer, whereas the board suffers all this abuse and not really be given a way to respond to it. It's very frustrating.
Well, I would think that a good policy would, recommend, would say, we don't like this. We don't think this is good radio, and we don't think it should be. Because likewise, attacks, we have that here, too, sometimes, Wesley. People go on and complain about the board, and, most of these complaints are only, well, this is editorial comment, but not really closely related to reality.
Right,
but,
correct.
But it also has the same, it has the same problems as what Sasha was talking about at KPFA. It's really very inside baseball stuff, and people don't really, it's not listener-building kind of radio. And it does give the foundation a bad name. So that I would, that's certainly bad-mouthing the board on the air to any, you know, excessive degree, I think, is something that should be included in whatever we work
on. Jihadist. You just said that we would strap a dynamite on our dynamite vest on, and, I mean, just some really Islamophobic imagery.
Well, it seems to be, there's a thing here where we're going to, you know, all our stations, I'm sorry to butt in, but all the stations are factionalized, and one group, you know, raises heck about another group on the air to, like, get their people to give money. And I don't know, it's the funny dynamic that we have.
Well, we don't have that yet.
We don't have
that. Yes, we do.
You do?
Definitely.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what they were
yeah.
doing there, you know, is come on in, support the music, you know, and get these communist, jihadist, anti-American, all this crap off. These are refuse from the Garland Gander days that is still there and still still doing their thing.
Well, okay, folks, could I, if there's nobody else on the stack, could I get a couple of thoughts about what we would like to write about this? You know, how do you all feel if a programmer comes on once on their show and complains about something, like somebody was fired and they thought was unfair, or, you know, they don't do anything, they don't say anything that puts us in any legal jeopardy, but they say something somewhat disparaging of a foundation decision or policy, but they only do it once. How do you, what do we feel about that?
I'm actually fine with it, and I've been saying that to people in discussions,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, okay, once, fine.
But airing is not,
right, but when it gets beyond
working.
That, it becomes a campaign, and,
right.
you know, you're using your time on the air, you know, in an appropriate manner.
Okay. But not more than that, not a campaign.
I wouldn't want to, you know, say one time, but I think that the operative word here, Sasha, I think you just said it, is not as a campaign. You can't develop a whole campaign against this.
Well, I don't want to get us into, then we have to prove it was a campaign.
That's true. That's true, too.
Well, I think if we put language that people can interpret, basically it's going to be up to a manager to interpret it. You know, you can't write the perfect language. Just, you know, say as best as possible, and somebody else is going to interpret as they want to. But it's good for people to know that such a policy is there, and if they engage in this kind of behavior, they do put their mic time at risk.
Jenny, I'm wondering whether we want to have something in place that says, third time's the charm, you're out of a job.
Yes. I was going to say there has to be repercussions. There has to be penalties.
Yes.
How would you like that to read? How would you, in your view, so what would it be? In if it were me, I would write, we urge managers to take steps up to and including, you know, suspension or dismissal.
Yeah.
But leave it, you know, don't say... I wouldn't delineate it such a, like, if the first time you get a letter, second time you get a warning, third time you get a suspension. I wouldn't make it so.
Well, what if it's a manager doing it?
What if it's a manager's faction and they're perfectly happy with the people doing it?
Well, I would make...
Okay,
on the stack.
Okay, I'll respond to that, and then we'll have a stack. I'm sorry to do all the talking here. You know... Then the manager has a manager who's the ED. If this kind of misuse of the air is going on and a manager is not doing something about it, that would be in the ED's hands. That's the way I would look at it. But anyway, so we have a stack here. So some people.
Would you put me, Ifia, on the stack also?
Okay, and what's your else?
And Sasha.
Benita. Okay, Sasha. And the question is, what would we say about... repercussions. Okay, so Afia, you go first.
Wait a minute. I think I was on first.
Oh, Kim. Okay, sorry. I didn't realize you were on the stack. Okay, Kim.
Yeah. I would say that one time would get a reprimand, the second time would get a letter in their personnel file, and the third time would get dismissal or suspension. And, you know, really, the second one, putting a letter in the personnel file, is something that anybody can do, whereas the third one requires the ED to do something. And, like, right now, the ED is not inclined to do anything, so that's not... that may never get acted on, but anybody can put a letter in somebody's personnel file. So when that comes up, that's a record.
Okay. I have a question. One comment. It's actually not up to the ED. It would be up to the station manager.
The GM.
As far as dismissals or dismissals.
The GM or the ED. And
but
you know
the letter. I have a question. Do unpaid producers have personnel files? They might, I guess.
They would now.
Okay.
I guess, you know.
It's kind of a different thing if you're not paid, right? Though a personnel file is just sort of a...
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there more, Kim?
No. Thank you.
Okay. Then next on the stack is Afia.
I think while we might continue discussing and then brainstorming, I think that in terms of developing any, proposing any language, it would be more useful for us to have the two motions that have already been passed and that we do it by email and have come back at our next meeting to be able to take action on specific language that comes out of the two existing motions plus the brainstorming that we're doing at this point.
Okay.
Rather than trying to use this time to actually come up with language.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think the goal is just to get some ideas here. Okay.
And also consensus that we think, you know, we can do something, so that's good.
Yes.
Oh, could I just add this, that I procedurally, I think we, as a committee, make a recommendation to the board, and the board can require the ED to do something. And so that would be the framework in which we would be making the motion.
Sounds good.
Okay.